This podcast contains explicit language.
And spoilers, only if you suck.
This is Dave.
My name's Carlos, Two Fat Guys Talk Games, New Year Edition, episode 41?
Season 2, episode 1.
We're not doing the seasons.
Yes, we are.
We're not doing it, Dave.
I'm doing that.
Look, seasons are a lot like... But I don't know how to transition this, so let's just do it. So let's say you're stranded on an island with blitzballs, and there's the chance one of them might be a bomb. Do you kick it, explode, have your head land next to your girlfriend, and then she recreates you from the faith?
Sure.
You know who this happened to?
Final Fantasy 10-2.5?
Yeah. Tidus, dead again in the most Looney Tunes-esque way. I was half expecting that after this happened to him, he would comically straighten his bill and declare that this means war.
Oh. If you haven't read anything on...
Just Google Final Fantasy X 2.5. This is a real thing that actually happened. An official novel was written... detailing the further adventures of Yuna and Tidus 3.0. Well, Tidus 2.0 until he fucking exploded.
Yeah, fuck.
Well, this has been Carlos.
No, we have way more to talk about than just that piece of shit.
Oh, God. All right. So, recently, I went on the social medias, and I was all upset because I heard that Bravely Default was getting, and I'm using this word now, even though it's not the correct word, censored for our version. Character ages were being changed, costumes were being changed to be less revealing, and sexual innuendo was getting removed. And I declared, fuck Square Enix, I'm not buying it. Several people responded to me, including Kyan, maker of Brave Earth Prologue, and I Want to Be the Guy, and friend of the show Rowan, telling me that it's not actually censorship if the creator does it themselves, and they have every right to self-censor their own creation. Now, this made me rethink my stance, especially since I'm playing through the demo.
I also called you a dumbass.
Yeah, you called me a dumbass about it, because in a way... here's what I'm conflicted about when it comes to this. We grew up in the era of censorship, of Nintendo's 8-bit and 16-bit... censorship days, and even stuff that got censored in the PlayStation 1 era, not by the companies, but by Nintendo or Sony, respectively. And when I see stuff like our version of an RPG being different because we as a stupid culture can't handle sexual themes if a character is a certain age, it bothers me. Not enough to not get Bravely Default anymore. The demo has convinced me that it'll be a worthwhile playthrough. But am I right to still be at edge? Here to tell us why is Dave.
I have mixed feelings on this one, mainly because this is a localization, and it's not being censored because, you know, Sony or Microsoft or Nintendo is saying censor it. It's because they know they wouldn't get it released out here without a very difficult rating if they released it as it is. Now, I've seen the change in the age changes. Those are a piece of text on a screen.
It doesn't
bug me in the least.
I agree. The part of me that hates children is fine with it, and the part of me that wants to see the original story is not. I'm erring with the whole, kids, I don't like children.
I actually think the outfit that we're getting for some of the characters actually looks better than their skanky versions.
Yeah, I saw that, and artistically speaking, yeah, a lot of the outfits do look better than the string bikini-esque.
And that's just it, is the old outfits very much scream fan service for no point. Whereas their new outfits actually look aesthetically good. So in a way, it sucks that we as a society is causing these sort of localizations to be changed so that, you know, ages are different, that things are less sexual, but the only person we have to blame on that is us. It is North American society that is forcing these changes, though, as a side point to that, even the European versions being change for the localization, and they're much more open about sexuality.
This is true. This
except
is true.
Except where it comes to kids.
This
the
is
the only country in the world who is okay with the sexualization of children in games is the Japanese.
I would argue that a certain issue of Rolling Stone showed us that America is just fine with the sexualization of children if they're hot enough.
Now, still wrong.
Here's my stance on the sexualization of children. I have no real world desire to sex up a minor. I believe in the power of fantasy, and that it is okay to fantasize about that as long as you don't act on it. I also fantasize about murdering dudes in video games, but despite committing many virtual atrocities in shooters, I have never actually murdered a person, and that's okay too. Now, that, again, this whole thing is basically just two halves of me clashing. I get what Kyan was saying, I get what you're saying, I get what friend of the show Rowan is saying, and that's that, you know what, our product is better in the end. I still dislike that this product, it had to change, because, I've read some great works of fiction that are about, like, teenagers, and there are sexual overtones to it, because, you know, teenagers and sex, yes. It happens, right? And the other thing is that, in a way, it's kind of like how I'm torn about whether or not in the States, we live in Canada, but in the States, should people have guns versus not? And there's a piece of me that says, take it away. And another piece that says, how are we ever going to evolve as a society if we don't learn to live with our tools, right? So I'm torn. I like the demo. I like how the game plays. It definitely plays like Final Fantasy done right in a lot of ways.
It does.
I like how the demo is unique from the game and it unlocks stuff in the game. I hate how 3DS demos have limited uses, Nintendo. That's a Nintendo thing, not Square's fault.
Yep.
But I'm still gonna, I think the end game of this whole issue for me is that I'm gonna be conflicted about it.
That's fair enough. I mean, I'm a big fan of the games that NIS brings out.
Yes.
A lot of them tend to be strategy and RPG
and they love
like games.
And they love putting string bikinis on little girls.
Well, okay, but NIS isn't actually the developer in a lot of cases. They are the localizer, or they are the
publisher?
Publisher, thank you.
Publisher.
But they are involved in the localization process, and sometimes they do have to take out, you know, a bath minigame that's very sexual for it to get through our censors.
Look, I want to play the Catholic priest simulator as bad as anyone else, and I don't think no damn soccer mom in Jersey should be telling me this is not going to end well if I continue.
No, it's not. But, I mean, the bottom line is for a lot of these games to get out here, they have to take out certain parts of the game, and yes, it pisses off a lot of purists. Again, we're kind of our own worst enemy here, where we have sacrificed our, I'm not going to say rights, because it's not quite valid in this case.
Our art, perhaps? But our sensibilities?
We have sacrificed our choices to governing bodies, which then decide what's best for us.
Part of it is also capitalism. They're doing what they think will sell best. And we would be remiss to not mention that this also happens the other way around. Heavily modified versions of Gears of War hitting Japan because they don't want it to be as violent as ours.
Germany is the worst for that, actually.
Germany as well. And stuff like, say, your inability to nuke that first town in Fallout 3 in the Japanese version, because apparently they're still a little sensitive about that whole nuke thing.
I wonder why.
That even happened in Skullgirls. A couple of Peacock's characters, like, some of the bombs were named after some of the nukes that fell in Japan.
Oh, wow.
And they got changed because Skullgirls was getting quite a bit of a fan following in Japan, and currently has so much of a fan following that their nickname for Big Band is the official name of the character in Japan.
Hmm.
Sax Johnson or something like that. I forget what exactly it is. They're actually recording lines with that name so that it gets it all right. So I can't condemn that, and I can't condemn Porum wearing a non-see-through pink camisole in international versions of FF4 The After Years, where it was completely transparent in the original Japanese version, which probably bothers her brother because her sister's just walking around naked pretty much. And I don't condemn that, because when I saw that, I'm like, this is the most retarded outfit I've ever seen in my life. And I like fan service. If I say it's retarded, it's too far. Ultimately, I'm a giant hypocrite, is what I'm saying. But I feel the need to spell it out on the podcast, because it bothers me. And I would love to hear from our two listeners how they feel about this. Send your feedback to Dave, and he can just not bother me with it. I'm kidding. I love hearing from all two of you.
Yeah. So yeah, localization. I mean, we've, on a previous podcast, we went over a number of the things that have happened over the generations of consoles.
Over the many generations from the 1300s to the modern times in video games.
We've covered the big ones. Everything from modern day Doom having to have the red cross sign removed from health kits.
Yeah, I remember that. They replaced it with a pill.
Yeah, because the Red Cross has the red freaking cross symbol patented.
Or let's talk about the most obvious one, the WWE.
Actually,
we were around when it was called the WWF.
Actually, funny enough, they now have an injunction that they can actually do the old WWF logo on their old stuff. They no longer have to censor it.
Yes, and that is good, especially with the new upcoming WWE Network.
Which
I don't know if you want to talk about. It is not stupid. It is basically WWE Netflix.
Okay, I don't think the channel itself is stupid.
It's not really a channel. It's more like WWE Netflix, really.
What's stupid about it is that they are taking WWE off of TV.
Which they're not.
Read the press release. They're removing WWE from TV as of April. When the Netflix thing goes live, or the channel.
I was about to say Google that right now, but you're not at your keyboard right now, will Google it right now.
This is what got me, is they're removing it, and they're only giving the channel access to the U.S. first. This seems to be a business-hurting proposition.
I am going to find this out.
Carlos is going to look something up. We're going to be here a while.
Hang on. Shut up.
Do 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 do
do. I didn't hear no off TV, and I watched the WWE.
Do 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 do.
Yeah, you realize I have to take that all out, right?
Why?
Because it's the Jeopardy theme.
Great. Yeah, they'll mark our the podcast as being able to make profit from it. Which we don't use advertising revenue anyway.
Yeah, but I don't want them to get advertising revenue for our work.
But we don't have ads on any of our stuff.
It doesn't matter. We did the work.
No, but we're not monetizing anything. Therefore, there's no ad revenue. Therefore,
that doesn't matter. If you still have a copyright thing against you, ads show up on your video and stuff gets sent to them. I know this because Nintendo did it with one of my videos, which I then took down because fuck them. I don't see nothing saying it's coming off TV. Regardless, the WWE Network is a great idea.
I think when it eventually
comes out here.
I think it's a great idea because they're trying to guarantee themselves $60 a year or $100 a year for the subscription. And you get the pay-per-views as well.
Yeah, that's the big thing.
Huge, because just the WWE main event is $60 HD.
Yes. And for those of us who watch the pay-per-views every month, that can be expensive. I mean, I sure wouldn't be watching them illegally or nothing from a certain British broadcaster or nothing like that. That would be wrong.
I just don't watch.
Sure. But if someone hypothetically in this podcast was illegally watching pay-per-views, WWE has given that person, we won't name names, all the incentive to pay for the WWE Network because it's just that much better a deal when it eventually comes out in Canada.
Yeah, end of the year, supposedly.
Supposedly.
Steambox.
Let's talk about some Steamboxes that were unveiled at CES.
Speaking about things getting smashed.
So, basically, a wide variety of Steamboxes were released at CES. The Hackman laughed at most of them.
No, not most. All.
The Hackman Are you okay with me calling you the Hackman?
Absolutely.
Can we reveal our damn last names already?
Yeah.
All right, fine. Carlos Alexander and David. David Hackman. So you laughed at all of them. I laughed at most of them. I still get the point of them. I still understand the appeal. I still won't buy one. I'll build one.
Internally, I'm still laughing. I'm dying laughing here because the Steam Box is not intended, and the Steam Box reveal here has really pushed the point of Gabe is not trying to make the Steam Box a competitor against consoles. He's not even attempting to try and make a viable alternative to consoles.
He's trying to make an alternative to Windows machines. For gaming.
He's not even doing that correctly, because those machines, those are enthusiast machines. Those are, you have money to burn, and you want to have something that looks really fucking cool, aesthetically. Holy fuck.
I think the point is, hey you, the home consumer, you've always wanted a gaming PC. But no matter how many times people tell you how easy it is to build, you're just intimidated by it, which is viable. Maybe you are intimidated by it. And you have the money to spend to get this nice-looking one that's already set up, fairly portable, and easy to plug into your television. Here you go.
That Alienware system is not portable.
No, okay, fine. Work with
me. Most of those are not portable.
Then the portable ones are portable. Work with me here.
No.
I see the appeal. Like I said, I'm not going to get one. I want to build a PC again. I got out of PC building. I bought a Mac Pro Tower. I really like it, but I kind of want to get into PC building again and to not running Windows or OS X. So I will build a Steam Box, but not everybody is comfortable building systems. There are certain parts of that process I'm not even comfortable with, and I've built them. Pussy. So, I mean, you've admitted that there are parts of it you're not comfortable with.
No, I haven't. I built that machine from scratch.
I know.
I'm fine with it.
Yes.
From the heatsink compound to anything on the motherboard. Big freaking whoop.
Listen, okay, we don't all have, like,
the
some
skills,
kind of
the mad skill?
Bionic nanomachine enhanced senses, Dr. Bashir.
Ooh, yeah.
That you apparently have to build a computer from scratch. And here's the thing. I'll get most of it right or all of it right. You'll get all of it right and hide the parts you get wrong so I never find out about it.
Hardly.
And some people are just like, man, I don't want to do this. I want something covered by a warranty that I can just plug in and play. And I don't care if it costs me $2,000.
And I understand that outlook. I mean, that's why low-end computers sell like hotcakes to stupid people, because they don't know enough to do the research to see what they actually need versus what some salesperson tells them they want.
Now, arguably, this is not like your HP or, oh god, I can't believe I'm saying this word, Compaq machine.
They're the same
which
company.
Is, I know. Which is targeted at that person. These are very specialized things.
They are, and I think that's part of what the problem is. The Steam Box was basically given out as a idea of this is what we're going for. The enthusiast companies like Alienware latched onto it, and they're trying to sell more enthusiast machines based on an idea of a gaming system.
Yeah, but Alienware doing this doesn't mean the Steam Box idea,
no,
built or pre-built, is bad.
But let me finish.
Okay.
What I find amusing with the whole thing, and when you sent me that link, why I was laughing is every machine, there was nothing there that was anywhere close to being a console alternative in the price range. The closest thing they had there was a Zotac mini chassis, which will play some games, but because it's not a actual proper video card in that guy, it's not going to even be able to stream 1080p videos.
Okay, fine. But the thing is, you just said earlier that they're not really looking to fight the consoles with this.
No, what I said was it's obvious that these are not even trying. They're just not trying. What they've been saying, though, is that the Steam Box is meant as. So really what we're getting is we're getting two different messages. We're getting Gabe saying that he's trying to, you know, give an alternative to consoles. in the Steambox. But yet all the companies that he's lined up to make hardware for the Steambox as a pre-built system is just like, this is a gaming system and you're going to spend tons of buyer shit.
My understanding is SteamOS and the Steambox in general is meant to be an alternative to a Windows PC.
Yes.
That's the whole point. The whole point is you want a game on a PC, but you don't want shitty Windows 8. Build your system around SteamOS or buy a pre-built SteamOS box and embrace the power of Linux. And one of the pre-built ones even comes with Windows 8 to dual boot to it, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's the proper thing to do here, because I'll admit I've thought about doing a Linux build for Steambox, but there's too much that Linux does not do fast enough for me to just say goodbye Windows.
Such as?
I use Office or Office style software.
There's free Office style software for Linux.
There is, but
that can write both to Windows doc files and to the open document format, which Microsoft Word itself uses now.
I actually like my GUI within Windows 7. I like the speed I can do things with. I like how it operates. Windows 8, if I had to go to Windows 8, I would actually think about going to Linux.
Sure, and that's the thing. Windows 7 is not going to be supported by Microsoft forever. You're not going to be able to buy it forever.
Yeah, Microsoft XP has had its license for patches renewed until 2015.
Yeah, but the thing is Microsoft doesn't want you to be on Windows 7. They want you to be on 8. Eventually, game developers are going to consider moving on to 8 or making Linux client. But I think the issue here is Gabe Newell wants to have an alternative to Windows. He's just sick of Windows.
I still think it's going to be a failure.
Here's the thing, you're predicting it will fail. There are already ways to make Linux run most of your Windows things already, right? And but here's the thing, it's not user friendly.
Yeah.
You and I could figure it out, no problem, by just reading a few wikis and going through a few command lines. Mm-hmm. What SteamOS has to do, I think, is they have to automate that. They have to include something like the Play on Linux product includes,
yeah,
which is pre-built Wine libraries to let Windows native stuff that has no Linux version run on SteamOS. However, Steam is very popular. Steam has a lot of pull, and Steam is fairly well liked by gamers and publishers. So, I mean, to argue that there's no potential here is folly, I think.
I'm not saying there's no potential. I just think that what's currently being shown to the public is not going to push any sort of drive towards SteamOS Linux systems.
Well, I guess we're going to find out by year's end.
Maybe. I'm thinking this is more of a 2-3 year sort of project plan.
Yeah, that's probably true as well.
He can't rush it. I mean, if Gabe really wanted to push people onto a Linux OS Steambox, he'd make Half-Life 3 Linux Steambox only.
I have a new prediction to add to our list of predictions. Half-Life 3 is going to be SteamOS exclusive. I said it would be announced this year, and now I'm modifying it.
SteamOS? No, Steam.
SteamOS. I'm going to call it SteamOS.
That would be stupid.
Exclusive.
That would be stupid. Because then he would completely alienate Windows users.
This has happened before. Halo, Bayonetta 2. Halo 2 for Windows.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Halo was originally going to be an OS X exclusive, and then it became an Xbox exclusive before it became a PC exclusive. Mm-hmm. So,
and
it got triple shunned.
And Steve Jobs has been a little bit bitter up until his death. How about that?
Oh, let's kick that guy in his grave some more.
Actually, no. I have a lot of respect for Steve. Lots of respect. I mean, if
sexual respect?
No. If he'd still been around, iOS 7 never would have come out when it did.
Yeah, but
nor would the Windows 5C ever see the light of day.
True, or Google Chrome for iOS.
That one I think
would have. Why the hell am I? This is a role reversal for us where you're defending Steve Jobs and I am being the asshole about him.
Well, you're just an asshole generally.
But which is ironic because you have the iPhone and I have the Android. But
yeah, no, I think Chrome would have come out for iOS eventually anyway. But we still will never see Flash. And that's good. Flash needs to cease to exist.
Agreed.
Flash is, everything should go to HTML5.
Fuck Adobe.
And Flash should be abandoned because it's a memory fucking hog piece of shit.
Fuck Adobe right in the ear. Speaking of the NVIDIA Shield, so I have a NVIDIA Shield now.
Oh, you're fucked.
I wanted an Android console that connected to the Play Store so that I could get all the games I already bought and have continued compatibility with Play, and that would let me connect to my TV and also be portable. And there were two options for this. The Mad Cats Mojo, which is getting hammered in the reviews.
Mad Cats, that's hilarious.
And the NVIDIA Shield. And I kind of, when I build my new PC, I kind of want to get a NVIDIA card anyway. And I'm like, hey, I'm compatible for whatever streaming services this will allow me to do. So I'm like, I bought a Shield. And I'm gonna say this right now. It's actually a very nice portable. It is way more comfortable than it looked. That D-pad that I thought was going to be terrible is not at all. It's actually a really good D-pad. The analog sticks click in and feel good. All the buttons feel good, and they're not sticky or bad. The bumpers and triggers are not as nice as, say, an Xbox 360's, but they're certainly functional. The game it came with a couple games, and I was able to port a bunch of games that I already own on it. Some don't have gamepad support, some of the games that I've already bought. But the thing has a touchscreen, so you can still use touchscreen games. Output them to your TV like I've been doing. It runs 720p or 1080p if you want to enter console mode, but yeah, you need to put it to an HDMI TV if you want to do that.
Makes sense.
It has a little built-in application that you can call anytime called the Gamepad Mapper, which lets you, assuming a game has touchscreen controls that are always in the same place, you can mock up presses to those places on the controls.
Cool.
It's actually a cool little handheld. And I'm going to argue it's actually an underrated handheld. It folds up nicely. It's got a full-sized controller. It's nice. Like, my portables right now are that and a 3DS, and I'm honestly not missing any other portables that may or may not be on the market right now.
Well, there's only really one other one. That's the Vita.
I know. That was me taking a shot.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, no, the Shield looked like a neat little system. So I used it for Fragapalooza last year when a guy was playing his Borderlands 2 from across the arena.
Which is nice. He could, with a Shield and a compatible PC at such an event, you can be in an optimal position at all times to avoid smelling anyone else.
You weren't there, Carlos, so it was okay.
No, that's not true. I actually visited you.
That's true.
Because I was hoping you'd tear yourself away from Guild Wars 2 and play some Skullgirls with me. You didn't, so fuck you. And then when I left, someone asked to see my bag because they thought I stole something.
Yep.
Yeah. Also, everybody there smelled.
No, they didn't.
Maybe it was just me.
Sure.
Would you like to smell me, Dave?
No, I already can.
What are the other topics on our list?
I don't know.
Speaking of
stuff,
how about that thing?
We've covered the Final Fantasy joke.
That wasn't a joke.
No, it wasn't a joke.
The joke is that it happened.
Yeah, exactly. I saw a neat picture the other day, and it was that the joke was that Kotaku was going to go turn off their website for one day.
So they could have 24 hours of
not just posting shit.
Of not just posting shit, because Kotaku sucks so fucking hard. Core. At least one of us recording this podcast right now uses it regularly.
Actually, David. I've moved over to Polygon.
Polygon's a little better.
It is.
A little better.
Yep.
Just a bit.
They occasionally link to a couple of the more intelligent things over there, but
they also have their own little sensationalist spin on things.
Everyone does.
But it's not as extreme. It's no Ben Kuchera. King of Fighters is sexist, and that's all my review is going to say.
I've never had the reference, sorry.
He was the guy in charge of the Penny Arcade Report.
Oh, okay.
He was known for being the dumbest brick alive. He said inflammatory things, blocked people on Twitter who called him on it, deleted comments that disagreed with him.
Huh.
Eventually, the Penny Arcade Report was just shit-canned. No official reason was given, but let's be honest, Ben Kuchera.
Was it him and the chick doing, like, a news report? Or am I thinking something else that's on Penny Arcade?
Maybe, I don't know. Fuck Penny Arcade. I like the comic, though. The comic's okay when they're not getting preachy about shit. I try not to read the blog posts on there, because I'm sometimes like, man, how do you have so much more money than me?
We've been playing Aquapazza.
Yes, actually very enjoyable fighting.
Very solid fighting game that produces estrogen in my body when I play it. It is very anime, which I hate, but very solid, which I like, so I hate myself for liking it.
Oh, speaking of anime, stay tuned for a upcoming episode of us watching some anime.
Oh yeah, that's right. We're going to do a new program here soonish, sometime this year or next. We haven't kind of ironed out the title. I suspect it's going to be called the Carlos and Dave Anime Rave or something like that. And we basically watch the first episode of an anime. David talks about how awesome it is, and I talk about how shitty it is. At least that's probably how it's going to go, because anime.
I don't know. I mean, I've been checking out different first episodes of a number of things from the past couple of years, and oh my god, just fuck.
This is total hipster talk, but anime used to be good. But then that's a lie, because it was never good.
Yes, there have been a number of good animes over the year.
Yes, a number. A very small number.
Oh, come on. A small percentage, maybe.
Yeah, like 1%? 0.1%?
Oh, come on. There's a lot of shit, but there's also a lot of shit on TV.
Yeah, agreed.
Oh my god, they're probably the same ratio, aren't they?
Yeah, they're all the same ratio.
Oh, fuck.
That's what people don't understand. 98% of everything is garbage. The problem isn't that. The problem is the real hardcore otaku who love everything that is anime. Who hate something until they learn it's an anime. Someone who's like, hey, you want to watch Eureka? And they're like, Eureka 7? And you're like, no, an actual good show called Eureka that's live action in American Pass.
Yeah.
That kind of person.
You know, the ones that will defend the original Evangelion TV series to their bitter end. Which will be about 5 seconds after they tell me it's good.
Yeah, Evangelion is so terrible.
It had good things.
I say for the official art of this episode, I put a cross in it and I don't explain why.
Nice.
Maybe I'll be exploding out of the ground in a cross.
Ooh, nice.
And
oh, have a giant head in the background.
Oh yeah, and it'll be like your head or something.
Yes!
Okay.
And when they get to this part of the episode, then they can hear all this.
Yeah, then they'll
get it.
Because we don't really acknowledge the existence of the episode art. You may not even know it exists. Go to our site, tfgtg.blogspot.com, if you want to see all of them.
Sounds good. Yeah. Planning on the anime stuff to be coming up in the next month or two. We really just have to come to figure out what we want to start as the first episode to review.
We also need to figure out a rating system. I'm thinking out of 3 pi.
Works for me.
It's a nice arbitrary number like any other rating system.
Yeah.
So if we say 8 out of 3 pi, people know it's a good rating.
Sounds good to me. Oh, God. I don't want to.
You're the one who suggested it.
I know. I know.
Anywho, I think we're out of gaming stuff to talk about. That's okay. This is a shorter episode. We'll be back when there's more to chat about. This has been Carlos.
This has been Dave.
Episode 41. 40.
Season 2, season, episode 1.
Season. We're going to go by that standard. Take care. And remember, one in the pink, one in the stink. Is that how that goes?
You're disgusting.
Yeah. Should we try that right now? Dave?
You're my bitch.
Dave?
So, if you've liked what you heard, you want to leave us some feedback, you want to give us some criticism, whatever, our podcast site is tfgtg.blogspot.com, where you can also find the feed link and our YouTube channel.
You can also find us on Twitter at tfgtg. Yeah. There's no way to continue that. So
no way to please, that sentence.
Please leave us some feedback. We accept good and bad. We will usually respond, seeing as we have such a small group audience.
We do have thousands of millions of followers, so we might not respond to you right away.
Sure, let's go with that.